together throughout centuries, through millennia. A people gathered together, connected by His divine ordained purpose in a community that comes together. And this morning, what I want to answer to you is, how do we come together? Why are we not a random gathering of people? Because some of us actually just walked in here for the first time. What makes us a unique gathering of people? And what sets us apart from any other club, from any other purpose of gathered people around the world? Why is the church set apart as a unique community that is connected divinely for the purposes of the creator and maker of the universe? And I hope you're going to stay with me. And if you don't, begin to chant and I'll know and I'll change the tempo. But let's go now first to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to say this. If you really, really, really want to know about the church and what it needs to look like, please read 1 Corinthians, and especially chapters 11 to 14. Much to be unpacked there. I'll try to unpack it in the next 25 minutes, so I'm not going to cover all of the breadth of that. But I really want to give you as an assignment for you this week. Read chapters 11 through 14, because you're going to get deeper understanding and revelation of what the church is all about. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, and then verse 27. How many of you have Bibles in your hands? Okay, please go ahead and crack them open. Not because you cannot see it up here on the wall, off the wall, we do lots of things like that. I just want to make sure that we enjoy that Bible and we know where that thing is. So when we go back home, we can add before and after context. So we actually begin to use it more often. So this is what God says about the gathered people. God, when I say God, let me preface that. This book is all inspired, but written by 40 authors, inspired by the Spirit of God. So we're reading really the writings of Paul, Apostle Paul. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. I'm going to take you on a brief journey to see the big picture of what this Word of God teaches us. If I have to synthesize, you can go to the next slide. If I have to synthesize the entire Bible in one sentence, I would say the triune God is on mission. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is on a mission. Before the foundation, before the creation of the world, God the Father, who knew that He was going to create a human race that is His image bearers. He was going to create them with free will, and for that reason, He definitely knew that some would choose to fall away. But then He purposed in His Son, Jesus Christ, a redemption route. So God the Father reveals Himself to humanity. And as we experience God, who is a missional God, who is after you to reconcile all of those that have gone beyond repair. We cannot find our own way back to Him, but He comes in our midst and He reveals Himself to all humans. By the way, He doesn't really enjoy, doesn't delight in the death of the unsaved because they don't know Him. He works until we all have breath in these bodies to reveal himself to us, for Jesus Christ to be revealed as the Savior of the entire world, so we can experience him and come to the salvation faith in Jesus Christ. So as we experience Christ and become born again believers, then what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Holy Spirit takes us and baptizes us into the body of Christ. Now, this is loaded with theological meaning right there, and I may have lost already some of you, and probably you're glazing and starting to do that to your eyes. So let me just say it a little bit simpler. Is we have come to the salvation faith that Jesus Christ is our only way to God the Father, the Maker, the Creator of everything visible and invisible. And we have submitted our lives to him. He takes us from the sinful lifestyle where we were. He has made us all new. The act of believing on Christ, the repentance and believing and submitting ourselves to his lordship gives the Holy Spirit the act to take us from where you are, from the sinful circumstances, to make you all new. And the Word of God says that everything of the old is past and now you're totally a brand new person. And he takes you and immerses you, because this is what baptizing means. It's to be immersed completely and fully. He immerses you into the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? It is a community of believers, of like-minded, committed individuals that have given up their own self-images and have now become the image-bearers of God the Father, of God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit takes you, baptizes you, immerges you into the body of Christ. He connects you. That's what we're going to be talking about today and next time. He connects you supernaturally, divinely, to a body that is made of many parts. That was what we just read in chapter 12. And as we get connected, Jesus Christ commissions us to go impact the world. We cannot impact the world for Christ by ourselves, but connected in a divinely put together, not randomly placed, but divinely put together body of Christ, connected to each other, we can impact the world. That basically is the Bible in a nutshell. Now, the question still remains, can we define the church? And I pulled this actually out of our own our Father's house, purpose and mission and who we are. And I want to read it to you. The church is an extended family constructed of individuals born again of the Spirit of God. And that each one is divinely placed in relationship to the others. And I'm going to also read what we are saying with that statement. At our Father's house, we are committed to the welfare of those members from conception to the grave. We are committed to strengthening children, parents, singles, those single again, the fatherless, motherless, and childless couples. We here, as a local body, have committed ourselves to be connected with you wherever you go, because the body of Christ is not just placed in a local geography, although, yes, it has many locales. But the body of Christ is global. And wherever you go, you would be at all times immersed, planted, connected divinely to other like-minded believers that have committed themselves to be image bearers of the triune God. So here, as you come, and as you may just stay for a short period of time, because many of us here are on assignment, government assignment, personal assignment, all kinds of assignments. And we stay for a snippet of time. But I want to tell you, even through that snippet of time, we are committed beyond anything to see to it that you're maturing within that body and that you truly are going after the purposes of God together corporately that we may impact the world for Christ. So, I talk about divinely connected to a community. And the question really emerges, what does that mean? How are we divinely connected? What makes us supernaturally placed in a community? And the Bible gives us two methods by which the Holy Spirit supernaturally puts us in a faith community. And this is the works of Christ, and the heart of Christ are manifested in the divinely connected body. And we'll unpack that very briefly. Are you still with me? I don't need to pass, sticks to keep your eyes open. Okay, not yet. Okay, another 10 minutes. Give me another 10. The works of Christ and the heart of Christ is the characteristics of a true body of Christ called the church. This is what makes us divinely connected. It puts it for the whole world to understand that we are divinely connected. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 11, those verses there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. This here, what I just read to you, is essential for us to grasp how the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, and He literally supernaturally connects us to each other. We, the natural beings, have been placed in a supernaturally manifesting faith community. The supernatural manifestation is not yours or mine. It doesn't reside within us. It resides within the Holy Spirit. But as the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, as He determines, we just read, as He gives every individual that had believed on Jesus Christ and had made Jesus Christ his or her own Savior, the Holy Spirit empowers you supernaturally and enables you to put the Father on display through supernatural, which Paul calls spiritual gifts. And He describes those gifts. And I'm sure some of you recognized yourself in the prophetic, or some of you in the healing grace that flows through you, or some of you have recognized yourself in the wisdom utterances or the knowledge that God gives you. You meet a person and you have never heard their life story or testimony, but there is something that quickens in your spirit and you know. And when you utter that out loud, They say, and how do you know that? For that was a secret. But this is what the Spirit does. The Spirit takes the natural people that come to salvation faith in Him. Immerses us in a divinely connected body of Christ, and the actual links, connections, are the spiritual gifts that we begin to flow for what? Paul says, for the common good. You can gather people randomly, and they can sit and they can listen to a lecturer, and they can get up and sing, and they can sit down, and they can play games, and they can go to picnics and outings, and they can get together and play games and do all kinds of activities. And they are not going to be a divinely, supernaturally connected body of Christ. But as we come together, and the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to everyone, if you carefully listen to what we just read, it says, to everyone as He determines. He gave spiritual gifts to everyone as He determines. As the Holy Spirit looks at you and determines in the moment how you need to flow for the common good. You now are connected to Me, and I am connected to you. And within that connection, there is a supernatural flow of life that begins to build the body for the common good. So the common good is for all of us to grow in maturity and knowing Christ. And for what reason? So we, as a corporate body, can now go and impact the world. See, it is God the Father, the Redeemer, that began the chain of give. He gave. For it is God who so loved the world that He gave. John 3:16. His only begotten Son, who? Jesus Christ. That for whosoever, our human choice, believes on Him, that person will be saved and will have eternal life. So God the Father gives, and we receive. And as we receive, and we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and being connected now through the supernatural spiritual gifts, we build the body of Christ. Connected for common good. Now the body is strong and it demonstrates the image of the Father. And from a receiver, now we become a giver as we go out there and impact the world. So the divinely, supernaturally connected body of Christ carries two characteristics. One, the spiritual gifts that flow for the common good. The second characteristic, extremely important. Apostle Paul unpacks it within that whole package of 1 Corinthians. He talks to the believers in Corinth, who know that the spiritual gifts are very important. They had grasped that significance. But they have forgotten that there is a second very important characteristic of the body of Christ, and that is the heart of love of God that needs to be displayed supernaturally through the body. And so he talks to them in chapter 11 about the unity in which the body of Christ need to exist. Then goes in chapter 12, talks about the spiritual gift. And then by the time he ends with chapter 12, enters into 13, talks about, let me tell you, settle down a little bit. I know you're all keen on speaking in tongues, doing all kinds of miracles, being power miracles, signs, all kinds of unusual, not natural manifestations. But I want to tell you this, he says. You need to pay attention not just to the supernatural manifestations of tangible works, of the works of Christ, but you need to to pay attention to the heart of Christ. And then he begins to talk in chapter 13 and beginning of 14, he says, to desire the spiritual gifts is a good thing, but practice them in love. Unfortunately, we have seen much display of supernatural manifestation of the works of Christ. And I'm talking about the global church. You can flip on a TV and you can see different types of spiritual manifestations that you know are not natural. Okay? Those things are not a natural work of a fleshly person. You know that if somebody gets healed of cancer, you know that if a limb grows, this is not of you, that God somehow has intervened and supernaturally touched that person. But the other thing that equally needs to be displayed with intensity is the love of Christ that binds his body. Jesus Christ, in John 13, 34 to 35, did not say that they will know you're my disciples because you do all of those miraculous works, and they will know it is not of men. Let's see what he says. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. See, we cannot only go after this supernatural manifestation of the flow of the Holy Spirit among us unless we have caught the heart of God. Jesus is not asking us to love each other out of ourselves. He says, as I have loved you, now you're going to go and connect with each other in this supernatural flow of the heart of God. It comes from the depth of the heart of God. And as you, in your worshipful gatherings, as you come together to magnify Christ, to magnify and exalt the maker and the creator of all the universe, as you come in your gatherings and as you say, welcome, Holy Spirit, then my heart flows out into your heart. You connect spirit to spirit with me. And now you are supernaturally touched. You're transformed. Your nature is now supernaturally transformed, and you now can love as I have loved you. And only then, if you display that characteristic, people would look at you and say, these are not randomly gathered together people. These are not just people that are rushing out there and trying to compete for a parking spot and kick the car out of the way and pull in there. But they will recognize the love of the Father flowing from his throne into your heart to their heart. And they will see that we here are not randomly gathered community, but we are divinely placed together, tied by the spiritual gifts that are given for the common good, for the building up of the body, to prepare us then to go corporately to impact the world. All of that done within the context of the love of Christ. Then that makes us an appealing community where people want to come and connect and be a part of something that they have not seen in the world. Because you and I are essential, vital, irreplaceable, and divinely positioned in the church body. And you'll say, why? Since the gifts are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, why am I so vital as an image bearer of Christ? And I'll tell you why you make a difference. That every one of us sitting here, hearing my voice in this building or outside of this building via all kinds of media, you and I are essentially, vitally important to the global body of Christ. Because although the spiritual gifts are supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit that He places in every one of us as He sees fit, you and I, in our natural makeup, we are made. David in Psalm 139 refers to God that He has overseen the process of making the embryo to contain the unique characteristics that only you possess. And no one can replace you. And when the supernatural of God touches the natural of you, and as they come together, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit of His particular gift through you always comes in a very unique way. Nobody can reproduce that. That makes every single believer irreplaceable, essential, vital, to the image-bearing witness that the body of Christ carries to the rest of the world. I promised I'll let you go on time. This is my challenge today to you. The author of Hebrews in chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We are a supernaturally connected community. You and I are not randomly sitting this morning here together, but God has divinely placed us, and He has connected us for His purposes. And you are very essential to His purposes to be accomplished in this local body. And I want us to all be challenged with this. Paul obviously had seen, even in first century, a slacking in the gathering of those that belonged to the body of Christ. They didn't quite understand the significance of why we have to be connected and gather. But this is why. Because we are supernaturally infused to manifest as image bearers the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to work for the common good, to mature and build up this local body. So then, as mature individuals, as people that are built up on any kind of level, but as a body looking complete, we can now go and impact the world. I want to give you an invitation this morning. Some of you are here for the first time. Maybe you're hearing for the first time of that divinely positioned body of Christ in the world. That it actually is a place where people don't just randomly do things together, but allow the infusion and the flow of the Holy Spirit. And you might be wondering, if this is so cool and if this is so good, how can I connect to this body? And I want to invite you this morning, because the Word of God says, if you hear His voice today, today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where you can say, here I am, God, the maker of heaven and earth. I do also want to be your image bearer, and I want to be connected supernaturally, divinely into your body, into that group of people, into that faith community that sees the manifestations of supernatural and spiritual works of Christ. I want to become part of that community. And you may be saying, you must be kidding me. Is there a place on earth where people are not selfish and do things for themselves, but actually are going after the heart of God who cares for all? The marginalized, the poor, the outcasts of the society, and the rich of the society, and those that the 1% that have all the riches in there. He cares for all equally. Loves them all. And you might be sitting here saying, seriously? That community is for real? And I'm telling you, we are not flawless. We're all a community of gathered sinners, but who has repented, who had come in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and has allowed His Spirit to make us new. And you will find out, if you decide to join this community today, to come to the Lord and submit your life to Him and say, I'm ready now to walk life together with your community, with your divine faith community. You will find out that you're going to see a lot of us with stories just like yours. The only difference is that our stories didn't end on a sour note, but we have invited Christ to come and change the story, turn us around, and give us a wonderful outcome where we now are supernaturally connected and the love of Christ flows through all of that. So I want to invite you this morning to make a decision for Christ. Those of you that have never made a decision for Christ, today is the day. If you hear His voice today, if something is stirring on your hearts, come and see me after the service. I will invite some of our altar workers as well at the conclusion of our service to come and be ready to receive those that might walk to us and want to connect with us. But also those of us that have already made a decision for Christ, but feel that we have not quite walked in that supernaturally connected community, I invite you this morning to come and refresh in the Lord so we can all walk together. Truly, this morning, I'd like for us to make a commitment to each other that maybe till now we haven't really walked in a solid union with each other. In that outflow of love, maybe we do that with few, maybe not with all. But I'm challenging all of us this morning to make that commitment and to say, this is my local body and I want to walk in the supernatural spiritual gifts that tie us all together and in the flow of love, of supernatural Jesus kind of love that flows from me to others. For those of us that want to walk in a new commitment to this community, I invite you also to come to the front. So can we all stand up? And if you have connected to any of the stirrings of the Holy Spirit throughout this whole message, I invite you to come to the front. The altar workers, would you please come to the front and be ready to receive those that are coming for the first time to Christ and be willing to pray with them. As I begin to pray, I will dismiss you after prayer, but you can begin to come to the front and respond to the Lord. Father, we are so grateful that you have revealed yourself this morning to us. And I'm just praying that you will continue to reveal yourself to people today through the week as they are reflecting on your word, as we're committing one more time to walk in a connected community, that we would see the supernatural manifestation of God in the midst of us and your love heart that flows to all. In the name of Christ, we pray all of that and we glorify you for that. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you. You're dismissed. I would say to those that are first time comers with us, we have the hospitality room to the left and we'd like to see you in a little bit there. And for those of you that still want to make that commitment to community, please walk to the front.